listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, live on a Friday. 225 FSR stations across this great, great nation. This is a day of a lot of small stories, but they add up to big overarching themes. The NBA, which way is it trending? When are they going to be back? I think there's cause for optimism. NFL, a lot of moves going on. And I got to tell you, the one that interests me the most, and we talked about it yesterday. By the way, speaking of yesterday, he wasn't here. He's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday kind of guy, like pack workouts. Steve Fezzik, one of the pros, who knows? He doesn't like to overwork those muscles. But yesterday, as I know you listen to the show, Fez, Jonas and I talked at length about Leonard Fournette having his best season, at least when it comes to counting stats, last season. And then just today, Jacksonville says $8 million for year five will pass. Wow. That to me is big. Speaking of Jonas, he's our favorite Joe. He's in Los Angeles, Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a weekend in which we've got a lot of decisions being made around the NFL, not just the Jacksonville Jaguars, the NBA trying to figure out when and if their season will continue. What is the Vegas lead here on this Friday?
Yeah, we're going to ask Fez what he would do. We asked you. You came up with some miracle that's never happened before. It was like a hedge. It was like, would you pay Mitch Trubisky? This was asked just, I think I gave you the whole commercial break to think about it. Would you pay $24 million for year five? And Jonah says, well, I would exercise this and then do this and then do that. It was like, has anyone ever done this before? No. That was a cheat, wouldn't you say, Jonas?
Oh, well, I mean, but I think I sounded differently than that.
Oh, well, yeah. It's anytime anyone says something I don't like, I go, well, you know, they said it like, you know.
I mean, that's the equivalent to attacking a radio host's vanity on the air. I mean, at least, you know, I want to sound, you know, better.
I will say this, when they let you back in the studio, you sound richer and fuller in studio. So I kind of feel more competitive with you this way. It's like, you know, maybe my voice is almost as good as Jonas's. Then I start thinking, no, not really. Come on. So Fez, I'm going to tease you with this question now. We'll answer it the first half hour of the show or so. But the question really is, Trubisky, you could say it's easy. I don't want to pay $24 million for him for year five. But you're pretty much then saying he will not be on your team in year five because they never, except in Jonas's hypothetical world, sign a guy that they reject on the year five option. And thus you have a year left with him in which you're paying him real money this year, Mitch, in which he's a lame duck. So how do you balance that? Well, we'll see what Jacksonville does with Fournette. That, imagine having a running back in year four that you know won't be there in year five. And it's a running back with Fournette that's a, let's be honest, there's sometimes seemingly issues with his, with his approach to teamwork. Wow, a lot of fascinating questions. With the Vegas lead, I want to stay with Fournette. I was going to actually go somewhere else. Let's stay with Fournette on it. And Jonas, let me ask you, same question in a way, I guess it's going to be the aftermath of the question, now that he won't be there in year five, what do you think it means? Do you think it means that for sure Fournette's going to be traded?
I don't know that he'll be traded, but I know at the very least they're going to run him into the ground because they.
But
don't
see,
have to
that
worry.
Isn't that the concern though? Why I don't think it's viable he could come in otherwise.
Yeah, that's it. It'll be interesting to see what his decision is moving forward, whether or not he wants to show up or not. He's got a history of sitting out games. He did it at LSU when it came to bowl games. Came to a bowl game in his final season, and everyone said, "Yeah, we get it. You know, you want to protect your investment moving forward." board, but I think Jacksonville will try desperately to trade him. I just don't know who's a taker out there for him.
So what I think we just had was the first time ever on national radio that a player was labeled as a guy that sits out because he sat out the bowl game. Because that's become the norm now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but he was one of the first guys. It was him and Christian McCaffrey.
So he was innovative.
Yeah.
But somehow he's being now labeled as a guy that doesn't like to play.
Right.
But
he's exhibited that before. I don't know that he would do it
again. Beyond that one time, though?
No, not beyond that one time. But if he's done it before, I think maybe his approach will be, well, listen, I did it in college. I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy of not being able to get a bigger contract next year. If they don't want me, I got to look out for myself.
And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that I'm not sure. And again, I'm usually harder on the players. I'm not sure that him doing it in college is a sign that he has a propensity towards it, though I agree with you, and I, again, appreciate your honesty when you say, heck, it's like a rental car, as Seinfeld says. I'm going to run this thing into the ground because there's no consequence as long as you don't mess it up enough that, you know, they can call you on it. I've never changed the oil in a rental car. Right. Have you?
Yeah. No, I'm not. No.
So to some degree, you don't care. And how much would they care about Fournette? And since there's so much news, consideration, awareness today about running backs and their short shelf life and how year 4, 5, and 6 are so dangerous for them. Because if you're a first round pick, they've got the 5th-year option, which in theory they take for just the $8 million. And then if they franchise you a year, maybe letting go of you after that's not so bad. And that's what a guy like Zeke held out with the Cowboys because of the fear of that. That was before his 5th-year option year. So literally it was like Fournette, but this is the Jags saying we're not interested. Fez, if you look at the stats on Fournette, they were his best year last year when it came to yards receiving and yards running. The counting stats were great. What do you think?
Yeah, he really developed. He became the bell cow. He had underachieved his first, few years in the league, and all of a sudden he carried that Jacksonville offense, rushed for over 1,000 yards, became a viable receiver. His yards per carry averaged 4.3. That doesn't sound very good, RJ, but he's playing for Jacksonville with the stash at quarterback. That's pretty darn good. That's a top 10 running back in the league able to get that production for Jacksonville.
So we talked about this yesterday. It was the idea that Andy Dalton wasn't so bad. In fact, it was more than that, and that we thought Jacksonville would be a great landing spot. Good time to slip this in. I think this is one of those Shakespearean, Jonas, doth protest too much, where all of a sudden everyone's talking about Jacksonville and the stash maybe not being worthy of being uncompeted with for the number one slot at quarterback, and Jacksonville's GM came out and talked about it.
Yeah.
Specifically that, the stash is the number one quarterback.
Yeah, and it was Doug Marrone, the head coach, who pointed out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, and he just said, listen, he's our guy, no doubt about it, but he did keep open the idea of adding a veteran quarterback, so it leads everybody to look at the ties between Jay Gruden, formerly in Cincinnati, working with Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton making so much sense there.
But didn't it come off more from what I read, and I didn't hear the sound if it's out there, that it was like, no. Minshew's our starter, but maybe we'll bring in a veteran backup.
Yeah, no, he gave this typical coach speak of we're going to look to upgrade at positions. If we feel like he can make us a better football team, then we would add to that position, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so it feels like to me he's trying to walk the line, the coach, Marrone, trying to walk the line of we don't want to make Minshew, who's kind of sensitive, kind of second-year guy, sixth-round pick. I'm not saying he's more sensitive than any other quarterback, but, hey, he hasn't established a massive amount of confidence yet. Hey, if Aaron Rodgers is so sensitive at this point, then wouldn't a second-year sixth-round pick be?
Right.
It makes sense. And how do you make it so he doesn't feel undermined, but we don't make it seem like a big shock when we sign Andy Dalton?
Yeah, and this is also the same offseason where just a couple of weeks ago you had Leonard Fournette, the running back, you know, giving praise to Cam Newton and then wanting to bring Cam Newton in. So it feels like they're really sort of tiptoeing around, you know, flirting with a potential backup, but making it be known at the same time. But we love Gardner Minshew.
But isn't that justified? Is it crazy for a Fournette to say Cam Newton might be a good addition to this quarterback room? Because right now the quarterback room is a six-round pick who finished last year in QBR at number 27. I mean, when there was only 30 quarterbacks that qualified in QBR.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty from Leonard Fournette. I just wonder, had Gardner Minshew talked about, you know, wanting them to pursue Derrick Henry, how Leonard Fournette would have handled it.
Yeah, I think he would say, I'm not saying he wouldn't have been mad. I'm saying it probably would have been less justified to say it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, to some degree, you got to have self-awareness. Like, if I'm Minshew, I'd be like, remember Kevin Costner in Tin Cup? Great movie, by the way. I love it. When it comes to the end and the music starts going, he's making the move in the third round. I just love it. And I love it when Cheech... it was Cheech, right? Yeah, Chong's the... Yeah. Cheech says, he goes, I could make this shot, when he's like done it after like six times and missed and missed and missed. And Cheech goes, then do it. It's like, hey, if you're going to do it, this last ball was the time to do it. I love that movie. I love that they're at the Waffle House. I mean, the whole thing. You like that, Jonas?
Yeah, I love that they live in a Winnebago. Oh. And when Don Johnson comes over and he refers to his swimming pool as a hot tub, Cheech Marin is the first one to correct him. It's a spa.
You know, I got to tell you, maybe we'll do a rewatchables. We'll steal from The Ringer and do a Tin Cup rewatchables and just open line. Open line on that would be a good one. So Fez, let's get some context here. Where quarterback rankings? Where do you have Minshew? Where do you have Andy Dalton? Where do you have Cam Newton?
Minshew 32.
Well, that's optimistic.
Andy Dalton 22. When did Andy Dalton become a backup quarterback?
So Fez, finish your number when you speak it. Say it again.
22. Andy
there
Dalton.
There you go. And then what else?
And Cam Newton, 26.
Wow. So you have Andy Dalton better than Cam Newton.
Last 4 years, RJ, Andy Dalton, average QBR, 22nd.
Okay.
And with Cam AJ Newton? Green only playing 9 games the last 2 years.
Well, hold on. Andy Dalton's 22nd. And what's Cam Newton over the last 4 years?
I don't have...
Well, that's kind of a tough thing to do is say, hey, here comes my slam dunk blackjack. Andy Dalton, last 4 years, 22. Cam Newton, not determined. I mean, that's not a blackjack, is it?
This well,
is
a Cam great... Newton, it's all about injuries, and he only played 2 games last year, obviously.
Well, so he's not
going to
have a QBR.
He's
not going to have a QBR then. So we're going to look over the last 4 years. So here's what we're going to do. Let's get McKenzie and research doing it right now. We'll look at Cam Newton the last 4 years. Let's look at Jameis Winston the last 4 years. And now we already have Andy Dalton, right? And we'll compare those numbers. I think it's interesting, and I got a very specific order between Cam, Winston, and Andy Dalton, and Minshew. I've got an order of those four. I'm going to give that to you when we come back.
That's coming up next. But first, this show is about money. And speaking of money, a reminder that if you did not file a tax return last year and have children under the age of 17, you must act now to get the $500 economic impact payment per child. Everyone out there could use the money right now. So make sure to get it done by Tuesday, May 5th. That's this upcoming Tuesday, May 5th. So you can get your payment in 2020. Go to irs.gov and enter your information in the non-filer tool by May 5th. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will rank a specific group of quarterbacks here in the NFL.
And it's going to be fun. We're going to get to hear McKenzie in research whisper a number to Fez, and Fez is going to say it, and he's going to try to act like he's, you know, just got done doing the calculation. So listen up for that. You don't want to miss that coming up in just a few seconds. We can be heard on 225 Fox Sports radio stations across this great country. Also on the weekend, you can hear us, and it's any time really, but the weekend's the time to catch up often. You can hear us by podcast. Just search RJ Bell or Straight Out of Vegas. Remember, it's OUTTA. That's how the cool kids spell outa on any of your favorite podcast players, and listen to the podcast right now on the Vegas Strip. 93 degrees, and unfortunately, they've extended the stay-at-home order here in Nevada to May 15th. I don't know. It could be all the way through May 15th, and still the neon is off.
So, RJ, we had an impromptu discussion involving a few quarterbacks around the NFL and where Steve Fezzik has them each ranked.
Well, listen, impromptu is what we specialize in, right? We want to let the conversation take us. I got to be candid. I hate those shows. And you can tell me, Jonas, because this is impromptu. I hate those shows where they finally find something interesting to talk about, and it's like, can't. 45 seconds. We got to end it here. We got a commercial break. And coming up, we got the guy who, you know, chews 8 pieces of bubble gum at once or whatever it is. It's never as interesting as what they just kind of stumbled onto, but they won't keep talking about it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You got to be able to adjust. You got to be able to know when something hits to be able to stick with it and move it forward. And sometimes people get caught up in the routine and what's on the schedule. There are certain situations where you can't really do anything about it because maybe you have a guest coming up or something you have to get to.
But that guest is any good, like I've done shows literally, like it just ended, Kevin and Bean, literally radio Hall of Fame, right? Can't do better than that. 6 years I was on that show every Friday during football season. And like 3 times during the 6 years, they pushed me. They're like, hey, something just happened. It was like usually The Rock is in studio, so we got to push you. I tell them you'd be insane to put me on instead of The Rock for another segment, right? So like if the guest doesn't get it, then it's the wrong guest.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have guests typically, right?
That's the frustrating part of being a producer.
Yeah, or you can get some guts and say, we're going to, you know, because some producers are hardcore, too. Well, either way, here's what I know is I'm hardcore. We're always going to talk about what I find most interesting. And worst case, we'll buy the guy dinner when he's in town and make up for it. So, Fez, speaking of all this, the question came up impromptu. Who's the better quarterback? Minshew, who is getting so much love as the presumptive starter in Jacksonville. Andy Dalton just cut, released. We think Jacksonville is a good landing spot for him and a likely landing spot with Jay Gruden's history as the OC now with Jacksonville, his history with Andy Dalton. But then the coach, not the GM, the coach comes in and says, hey, Andy Dalton, yeah, veteran backup. But Minshew's our guy. Feels a little much to me. I don't think Minshew deserves it. Thus the question. How's Minshew rank against Andy Dalton? How's he rank against Cam Newton, who's still available? So really, if you say Minshew's our guy, you're saying you like him better than Cam Newton because Cam Newton is readily available. And then Jameis Winston's in the mix for the conversation, not practically, but since he just signed for 1.1 million, he was easy to get to, right? 1.1 million for a quarterback meant he was readily available. Pat McAfee, is that how you say his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy his style a little bit. He said, when you get paid 1.1 million, it means you had one offer. I think that works. So let's look at just QBR. Now you happened and let's pull back the curtain. Why did we pick 4 seasons for Andy Dalton? Why? That was the number you said he's number 21 right, or 22, ranked QBR on average over four seasons. Why did you pick four seasons?
You know, no real reason. Gut instinct.
So you didn't look at season five and say, we're going to leave that off.
If I went further back, his numbers would have been better. And I said, you know, let me go back four. And the numbers were somewhat consistent in the last 4 years that they were.
But the fifth year back was better.
I didn't go back further.
So how?
When you say
if I would have went further, it would have been better. You're just guessing.
Yeah. Well, they had five playoff appearances. So the further I went back, the better it would have been.
Okay. Because usually what happens is when someone's trying to make a point, they'll stop it if it's a good 2 year. Like when I was making the point that Aaron Rodgers is not an elite quarterback anymore. Last year he was 20th in QBR. Year before he was 16th in QBR. Year before that he did not qualify for QBR. But if you looked at his passer rating, it was like number 7. I didn't mention that. I just said he didn't qualify for QBR, which is true. And if you went back the year before that, he was like number 6 or 7 in QBR. I didn't mention that. So am I telling the truth? Yeah. But I'm stopping at a point that tells the story I want to tell. Because if you didn't do that, you would never have any clarity on anything, really. Right? Except that Tom Brady's a pretty good quarterback. Yeah, you can. It's kind of hard to spin that the other way. I find it interesting you only went back 4 years. I think year five, if you were trying to say Andy Dalton was good, would have been bad. You're saying, no, it would have gotten better the further back. Okay.
Much better. He was actually the third best quarterback 5 years ago.
Wow. Now, how old is Andy Dalton?
32.
So at 32, do we think that someone is compromised? Is there any way that for that 1 year, now obviously he has less years ahead of him, but for that 1 year, is Andy Dalton any worse at age 32 than he was at age 28?
No.
Not because of age, so. No.
Yeah, I mean, because the theory is you're physically not quite the same, because if you look at tennis players, which is a sport where if you lose anything, it's hard. You know, usually tennis players, now this has even changed, right, with Nadal and Federer, you know, but Pete Sampras was retired like at 29, right? Agassi was like 31 and was just hanging on. So I think you could say sprinters, they're not going to be as good at 32, but whatever you lose, you're gaining experience in a way that if you're not really banged up injured, and that's going to be the question with Cam Newton, you got to figure 32 is not a year that age is the issue, right? We all seem to agree with that.
Yeah, and the only it's nothing knee or you know, shoulder. He's had some issues with his hands where he banged his hand on a helmet and broke his thumb, but it's nothing that's not recoverable that he can't come back 100% with.
Andy Dalton we're talking about.
Yeah, Andy Dalton.
Okay, so here's the question. That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. We're talking with Steve Fezzik. We're straight out of Vegas. Here's the question. If Andy Dalton for this year and this year alone is physically uncompromised, we know in the last 4 years, mathematically, he was the 22nd best ranked quarterback by QBR, which means, you know, in this, better than a third of the guys, not as good as two thirds, except some of the guys ahead of him retired, et cetera. You could say if we took everyone's last 4 year average amongst the presumptive starters, I bet Andy Dalton, that 22 probably puts him somewhere in the top half, just below, you know, 14, 15 if he stack ranked him. So the question is, well, heck, why would he get cut? The next question is, how much of his performance is about last year it was a dumpster fire of a team. The year before, A.J. Green was hurt half the year. They had no playmakers. You could almost say, Steve, year 3, 4, 5, 6 might be as applicable as the last 2 years, because if he goes to any team that's halfway decent, he'll have a few play. Like even Jacksonville, he'll have some playmakers. And if the only thing you might say is, well, RJ, 4 years ago, that's a long time. Except what's changed? Meaning, unless he's somehow had brain damage we don't know about, his mind's the same. We don't think he does. And he's physically supposed to be the same at 32. And this was a guy that 5 years ago was what rank, Steve, when he had playmakers?
Third.
The third best quarterback in the NFL is still the same physical player. How's he get cut? Now, by the way, Steve, for a little background, before I got in and touched up your quarterback rankings, where did you have Andy Dalton?
I had him even lower than 22nd.
I didn't ask relative to now. I said, where did you have him?
I believe 27th.
So what was your, obviously it's ludicrous. What was your thinking? Because maybe that can lend us insight how you were thinking incorrectly, how others are thinking incorrectly.
Because I looked at the decline in his numbers over the last 3 years, and last year he was 27th, and I said, hey, here's a quarterback. He's getting older. He's in decline. And then you said, Fez, he's 32. Is he declining because of age? No, he's declining because A.J. Green didn't play last year, and he played only half the year before.
And his, if you look at the first half of 18, so the year before last, Andy Dalton's stats are pretty good. And then when Green was out, they went in the toilet. Because if you don't have anyone – that's what they're saying about Tom Brady, right? Well, Edelman and those playmakers were a lot better than what Cincy had without A.J. Green. And with a new coaching staff that, quite frankly, thought Finley should be the starting quarterback. Was that the dude's name, Finley?
Yeah, yes. Ryan Finley.
Ugh, no.
That didn't work out.
No. So, by the way, you mentioned Andy Dalton last year was 27th in QBR. What was Minshew 26? So it's like... Minshew, his first year with the – and wouldn't you say, Fez, that there's a big advantage for an unpedigreed quarterback, especially that they don't have great tape on those first couple games, they just don't know what his limitations are. And it's usually that third, fourth, fifth game that they start clamping down. And if you look at what we call the unlikely starters, we called them. They were a
accidental starters.
Yeah, they were a bunch of guys all at once that started because of injury, and Rudolph was on that list, and they were something like, 14-0 the first 3 weeks against
Teddy
the spread?
Bridgewater and company. It was incredible.
It was like undefeated against the spread up to like 14-0, and then literally 4 weeks later, not one of them was still playing.
Yeah, and you saw Minshew's numbers really tail off. Last six games of the year, I think his QBR was only 35, which is way below average compared to his 42 year-to-date average.
Now, that's interesting. So you're saying for about half the games, he was in the 35% range. This isn't the ranking. This is the percent. And his percentage was 42 at the end of the year, which means in theory, if it was an equal number of games, it would have been about 49 the first games, 32, and then split the difference was his 35. So you're saying that it was literally worse than the 42% once the defenses got a hold of him and figured him out a little bit.
Exactly, yes.
So wouldn't you expect in year two you're going to see more of the later stats than the earlier stats?
Yes, and that's why I have Minshew, my number 32 quarterback. I've got him rated very low.
All right, so you got Minshew below Andy Dalton. Let's keep going, though, with the QBR. So what was Cam Newton's QBR over the last four seasons?
21st.
All right. So Dalton 22nd, Newton 21st. Now, I asked you, I said, Steve, who would you rank, Andy Dalton higher or Cam Newton? You said, Andy Dalton. So my question, did you see Jonas? Did you get it? Yeah. So then I asked the following question silently, but I was saving it to spring it on you. Well, wait a minute. Cam Newton's been banged up the last 2 years. So if anything, he's had like 50 weeks off when this season starts. He'll be off like for 50 weeks without playing. You got to figure, unless he's permanently injured, he's going to be healthy. If he's 21st banged up, that means he's better than 21st not banged up, wouldn't you say?
I agree, and it's all that is the question. How banged up is he? I would make the case Carolina knows more than anyone, and they didn't want to bring him back, RJ.
Whoa, I don't know if Cam's
ever going to be healthy.
Boy, that's a good effort. That's a faulty approach. Do we really think the only thing that Carolina cares about right now is quality of performance with their quarterback? Don't you think that the owner is trying to do what? It's a reset, right? Well, however good Cam is today, how good's Cam going to be in 4 years? Right? So not he's going to be aged and not very good probably. So they're figuring this is a rebuild anyway. Let's get a character guy in here. Cam, whatever you want to say about him, we've got the new straight out of Vegas metric, which is would you like him dating your daughter? Right? I mean, I think I would want to have a sit down with Cam before he went. I don't have a daughter, but I think I'd want to have a sit down with him before. Fez, would you agree?
Yes.
All right. So I don't know what that laugh meant, but okay.
I'm just thinking of some of the outfits he might be wearing as we're in the meeting.
That is a thought. Yeah. He'd be all dutied up for the date. So the question is, I think Carolina said, hey, maybe for this year he's better, but we've got a four-year plan, and he's going to be
long-term. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And he's expensive, you know. So I think Cam Newton's better than Andy Dalton. I think both of them are better than Minshew. Where's Winston stack up with the numbers?
All right, so QBR average last 4 years, Winston 14th, RJ.
Wow. So the 14th guy in QBR, which means if you take rid of the guys that retired and what the guys that jumped up for one great year, he'd be even higher than that if you stack ranked. And let me be clear. If you say, what's the average of the QBR rankings of these guys over the last 4 years, whatever that average is, you'd probably rank higher in the stack rank just because everyone above you isn't necessarily still playing. And he's the guy. And Jonas, this so speaks to what you said yesterday. I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. I'm talking with Jonas Knox and Steve Fezzik. Jonas, you said it yesterday. You said the way that Winston is handling this makes you even more encouraged that he's got a good future. What did you explain what you meant by that?
So I just think that, look, we can call it whatever we want. He was demoted. The team that brought him into the NFL decided, we no longer want you. We want a guy in his 40s to move forward with. So he got completely demoted by his own team.
A number one pick, too. Yeah. So an ego. You think he has an ego.
Yeah, number one overall pick, gets demoted. And instead of, you know, going out and, you know, complaining about it or doing some of these videos like Cam Newton's doing where he's hyping himself up, he's going out there and he's just working. And he's not making noise. He humbles himself and takes a $1 million contract from the New Orleans Saints. People think it's outrageous that he would take the deal. And he has been open and honest and just said, listen, I'm going to learn. I'm only focused about this year. It has nothing to do with next year. I just think he's handled the whole thing fantastic.
I agree. And here's the thing. The things that would cause you to question Winston are things somewhat being answered by his willingness to do this. That, to me, is the key you hit upon, and I agree with you. And who knows if he's going to keep tweeting about all the cars, he can read license plates, he can watch movies. He didn't know that Tom Hanks was good looking back in the big days. Like, he'll have all the – that would be a funny, actually, spoof account. All the things now Winston, his observations now that he can see. But regardless of that, there was some luck with his interceptions that went bad last year. You know, and the numbers tell us interceptions are not the 14th best quarterback QBR ranking of the last 4 years. That's above average. So, Faz, I'm going to give you one more crack. Now, here's the challenge. You don't want to back off where you are. Minshew, Dalton, Newton, Winston, 1 through 4 from Fezzik.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue to take a look around a busy offseason in the National Football League. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You ever notice, Jonas? And by the way, everyone, Jonas is going to try to be politically correct here. You ever notice that when there's this fill-in dude for the role, that the updates are longer? Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, you know, it's Dave Gascon. He wants to take center stage and show him. There's nothing wrong with it.
That
know?
Wasn't politically correct. What are you talking about?
You know, he wants to show off those tones that he's got.
All right, Fez. Now, here's your concern when you rank these quarterbacks: Andy Dalton, Minshew, Newton, Winston. If it seems like you've changed because of me, you look weak. But if you don't change, you're wrong. So you're either wrong or weak. Go.
Number one, Jameis Winston. Number two, Andy Dalton. Number three, Cam. And number four, a distant fourth, the stash, Minshew.
I agree with the distant fourth, but somehow Cam Newton's stats are better, and Cam Newton's been hobbled by injury. He's had 50 weeks off, but somehow he's worse than Andy Dalton.
Yes.
And you had Andy Dalton number 29 before I got a hold of your list.
Well, that was my first. Yeah. That was like a mock draft quarterbacks for Fezzik before RJ Bell fixed him up.
I'll say this. You wrap it all up. If there's any sign that the NFL is not a counting league anymore, it's Fournette. He had his best accumulated stats. How many yards did he rush for? How many yards did he catch, you know, receiving? But his efficiency wasn't as good. And because of that, Jacksonville said $8 million. That's all it was, $8 million. Remember, Gurley signed for about that much after he got cut. $8 million, no thank you, year five. And that means year four could be a lame duck year, which is, who knows what it means. Wow. NFL is about efficiency these days, not counting stats. When we come back, I've got maybe my most interesting stuff yet on Michael Jordan and LeBron. The feedback this week from people, the reaction's been outstanding. We'll talk about it.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. RJ, with the Last Chance documentary releasing two new episodes this weekend, it has become the talk of the sports world as people go back and look at what basketball was like 20-something years ago.
That's Fezzik's documentary, Last Chance. This is The Last
Dance.
I'm
sorry. I'm confusing it with the Netflix show.
Listen, when you make like two mistakes a month, I got to make fun of you. It's like, what else would I do at that point?
Yeah, I know.
All right. So there's a lot of it. I thought the David Blatt stuff and the reaction to it was the most fascinating. So David Blatt, quote, Michael Jordan did not focus on I, but on us. Okay. Sterling Sharpe on Undisputed. I mean, I've never seen him so worked up. It's like when Fezzik gets out worked up, I got him on the ropes. I mean, he was like, I'm so sick, you know, because he's a LeBron apologist, I think it's fair to say, in my opinion. And he's just screaming, this is too much. I'm sick of this. This isn't going to be 5 weeks of cutting on LeBron. And this was his answer. He said, this is backwards. LeBron is the one who's willing to pass. He's unselfish. And MJ was the guy that had to be taught how to pass, how to not be selfish. And I bet a lot of you feel like that makes sense. That's the opposite. And this is so important. The first question is, what is the player's nature? Now, what you would prefer for an all-time great, for a GOAT contender, is he wants to take the shot. The default should be, you guys step aside, daddy's here. That should be the default. Well, for LeBron, the default was to pass. For Michael, the default was to shoot. Now, the next question, and there's only two, the second question is the person willing to, the player, willing to change his nature if it improves the chance to win? Now, Michael, his first thought was, daddy's here. Phil said, no, no, no. Triangle, if you pass, we have a better chance to win. He started passing, Paxson, they talked about it. Six titles followed. So Michael was exactly what it should be. First, he wants the responsibility because he thinks he's great on the inside, but he's willing to change. I'd make the case with LeBron. His first thought was to pass, and he never changed. And not only didn't he change on that, he didn't change on a guy like maybe Black could teach me something. Michael Jordan said, Phil Jackson was, I wasn't a fan. In fact, the guy that got fired, he went to play for with Washington. He picked him to coach him. He liked that much. But he still was willing to listen to Jackson and won six titles as a result. To me, LeBron came in, he didn't like Blatt, who is the most decorated coach in the history of European basketball, and he was gone. He pulled a power play. So more than this showing LeBron's unselfishness, it so shows he's intractable when he needs to change, and he won't change pretty much anything. It's his way or the highway. Michael was willing to change. To me, that is a better thing about Michael. Quick last word, Jonas.
Yeah, I think LeBron is selfish at times. His behavior on social media, getting coaches fired all the time. But we keep hearing everybody push the narrative that, oh, but he's a great guy. I'm sure he is, but he does have selfish tendencies.
Great show, guys.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!